Hi, I'm Ed Slott.
And I'm Jeff Levine.
And we're two guys who just love to talk about retirement and taxes.
Look, our mission is simple, to educate you, the saver, so that you can make better decisions, because better decisions, on the whole, lead to better outcomes.
And here's how we're going to do that. Each week, Jeff and I will debate the pros and the cons of a particular retirement strategy or topic, with the goal of helping you keep more of your hard-earned money.
Yeah, but we won't know which side of the debate we're taking until we flip a coin. Winner of the coin flip gets to pick which side of the debate they want to argue.
And both of us will have to argue in favor of our respective positions, whether we agree with them or not.
At the end of each debate, there's going to be one clear winner. You, a more informed saver who can hopefully apply the merits of each side of the debate to your own personal situation to decide what's best for you and your family.
So here we go. Welcome to the Great Retirement Debate.
Welcome to episode one of the Great Retirement Debate. I'm Jeff Levine. With me is Ed Slott. Ed, it is great to be with you today, and I am really looking forward to our first Great Retirement Debate.
I'm excited about getting these critical topics out to people who are viewing or listening. These are critical issues for those heading into retirement, already there and even beyond, to your beneficiaries.
Yeah, we'll be talking about a slew of issues related to retirement and sort of highlighting the pros and cons by arguing each side. But of course, no decision is, or rarely is a decision, all pluses or all minuses. And it's just going to be a matter of individuals weighing these decisions and pros and cons for themselves as to how they should act. But simply knowing the pluses and minuses is a really important first step.
Yeah, that's true. And the big takeaways you'll get from each of these items, each of these debate episodes, you know, we may be debating a side we don't even agree on. We're going to flip a coin. But the benefit to you is you'll have a good list. You know, if you're thinking about making this decision, you'll have the pros and cons. And as Jeff said, the pluses and minuses, benefits and drawbacks. And you'll be able to formulate which of these items are most important to you based on your own particular facts and finances and circumstances. And I believe this will help you make important financial decisions.
Well, that's certainly the goal. And Over the course of time, Ed, we'll debate things that may apply to some people, but not others. But today, in episode one, we're going to kick it off with a topic that applies to just about everybody, and that's Social Security. And specifically, we're going to start by debating, should I take Social Security at age 62? Ed, my topic means your choice for the coin flip. What do you want, heads or tails?
I'll say heads.
Heads. All right. Heads it is. We're going to flip a coin here, and you're listening, so you're just going to have to take our word for it that we're flipping the coin, but we've got it. And Ed, it is heads. So what do you want to argue? Do you want to argue today that you should delay Social Security beyond 62, or do you want to argue take it as early as possible?
Oh, I got a break on this first episode, because I would always say, not always, nothing is always, but I feel more comfortable holding off till age 70 when you get the highest check.
All right. Well, thanks very much. I will then take the side of the argument that says take it at 62. And I'm going to start with my potentially biggest argument, which is, I don't know what the future holds. Ed, what if I die at 63? What if I die at 64? What if I die young?
Let me stop you there. Okay. If you die at 63, at 64, you're dead. You won't need it anymore.
Yeah, but think about all the money I would have left on the table if I had delayed taking Social Security until, let's say, full retirement age, somewhere between 66 and 67, or even as late as 70, I might not get anything. If I wait until 70 and I die at 69, there's no back check that my heirs get for 9 years of missed payments.
That's true. And it always is going to come down to your best estimate of when you're going to die, sorry to say. I mean, it all comes out even. Social Security actuarially has this figured out. I don't know what the actual break-even year is, age. I think it's 83, is that about right? 82, 83, what is it?
Roughly somewhere in there, depends upon the individual and when their full retirement age is and all their benefits. But yeah, usually you have to live to about 82, 83 to see a crossover benefit.
Right. So that's really the question. Do you want smaller checks for a longer period of time or larger checks for a shorter period of time? But if you hit break even, you will break even. But if you live, hopefully, a long and healthy life, then you're going to benefit from those extra years.
Yeah, well, look, most people end up doing that. And most people do end up taking it early. In fact, there's research from Social Security, and we can put a link to this in the show notes, that talks about how more than 7 in 10 people, more than 70% of people are taking Social Security before they hit 64. So maybe not as early as 62, but pretty early, well before full retirement age. And one of the reasons they may be doing it is that they may need that income. You know, unfortunately, there are a lot of people, we'll talk about a lot of topics that on this show that apply to people of all different wealth spheres, right? People with less wealth, people with more wealth, but those who work kind of the typical blue collar jobs, the physically demanding jobs, they tend to need to retire sooner because they can't work anymore. They're physically not able to. And if you're not able to do that, well, Social Security may be your only income stream.
Right. So then obviously I agree with that, because if you need the money, you have to take it. But then you're also locking in lower checks for the rest of your life. One option is, if you really needed the money and you were fortunate enough maybe to have an IRA, you're better off taking from your IRA. Even though those distributions are taxable, if you needed the money, you'd probably be in a much lower bracket. And IRAs are, you know, 100% taxable, whereas Social Security at most is only 85% taxable. But you may do better, I think you would do better, tapping your taxable IRA at low rates for those years, 62 to 70. And then your RMDs at 72 will probably be lower because you tapped in earlier. And then you can have the larger Social Security check take over at age 70.
Yeah, so let's break down some of what you were just talking about, because there's a lot to unpack there, Ed, for those listening today. So first off, as hopefully most people know, if you take Social Security early at 62, you will have your monthly benefit reduced. At full retirement age, which varies depending upon your year of birth, and we'll put a link to that site for Social Security in our show notes as well. Depending upon the year you were born, your full retirement age is likely to be right now somewhere between 66 and 67. If you take Social Security early, for each month you claim early, there's kind of like a penalty, if you will. And then at full retirement age, you get what's called your unreduced benefit, effectively your full Social Security benefit. But that's not the biggest benefit that you could get, because if you wait beyond your full retirement age, you get an 8% increase per year, or 1/12 of 8% per month that you wait beyond your full retirement age. You see your payments for life automatically increased by that amount. In addition, Ed, you referenced RMDs there. Of course, you were referring to required minimum distributions.
Right, right.
The requirement that once you hit 72, you must begin to take distributions from your IRAs, which can increase your income and cause other sorts of tax impacts, whether it raises your Medicare Part B premium or increases your tax bracket, et cetera. So a lot to unpack there. But I think one of the other issues I would point to here is that it is actually echoing a thought that you made, but looking at it from the opposite side, which is if I take my retirement dollars and I delay Social Security, that means I'm burning down my retirement assets, my liquid assets, the things that I could leave to an heir, or that I might use the assets later on in my life. Whereas if I take Social Security early, that means I can leave maybe more of my IRA or 401k or other assets invested for the long run. And if something happens to me, those assets do get passed to heirs. And if I can let them grow, then they are available later in life for me.
Well, here's what I would say to that. If you need the money, that would be the only reason. If somebody came to me and said, should I take it early? And they absolutely need the money. If you need the money, you shouldn't be worried about your heirs. They're going to get whatever is left. They're an afterthought. If you need the money, you have to take care of yourself first. And if you need the money, you're better off taking from your IRA. Don't worry what you're going to leave to your kids. Take from your IRA because you'll have a much lower tax bill, because I'm assuming if you need the money, you're probably in a lower bracket. And then you can get that much larger. You can lock in a larger check if you hold off on the Social Security till age 70. Yes, you'll have a lower IRA, but that's lower taxes you'll have going forward, while you'll have Social Security. Now, it could be that if you've taken down more of your IRA during your lifetime, maybe your income would be low enough with RMDs, those required minimum distributions, that less of your now locked in larger Social Security check, actually largest, it's 70, it doesn't go past that, that's your lock-in, less of that will become taxable due to increased income. If you have a larger IRA because you held off, your RMDs could be larger, and that could trigger taxation of your Social Security or higher taxation. But to one of your other points, Jeff, you said, if I need the money, and again, I think we both agree, if you need the money, you have to take it and there are no alternatives. But if, let's say, I'll talk about another penalty you didn't mention. Let's say you need the money, you take Social Security early, but you still need money and you get a job at 62. What happens then?
Well, if I make too much, they withhold my Social Security. And it's like I never claimed in the first place.
And that's gone.
Well, if you live long enough, if you live, let's say, until full retirement age, they effectively will add back those dollars, right? It treats it as though you hadn't claimed it. But yes, you're certainly not getting Social Security for those months.
Yeah. So if you need the money, obviously you have to take it, but you should look for other resources. If you do have traditional IRAs, I always say you're better off in your 60s using your IRAs, not before 60s at 59 and a half. There's a penalty if you tap it too early, but you're better off using, in my opinion, I'm taking that side of the argument, and I'm glad I'm taking that side, because many times on these debates, you're going to find, based on the flip of the coin, we're taking a side we really don't agree with, but that's your benefit. We're arguing both sides of the coin here, but that's the side I would have argued anyway, to hold off, to lock in the largest possible check. Given today's life expectancy, you could go into your 90s. I'd rather you have a check, a larger check locked in at age 70 for the rest of your life.
All right. Well, I'm gonna hit on that for a moment. By delaying a larger check down the road, like at some point, I'm not going to be traveling as much anymore. I'm not going to be doing the things, right? Like in retirement, we often hear people refer to as the three phases of retirement.
Oh, yeah.
Go-go years, your slow-go years, and then sadly, your no-go years, right? Yeah. And so what do I care if I'm getting a bigger check when I'm 85? Like, who really cares? Because I'm not going to be able to enjoy it at that time. Whereas at 62, you know, 62, 63, 64, like, hey, Ed, 62 is the new 42, right? So with that in mind, maybe I'd rather have that income, even if I don't need it, right? Even if I do have these other assets that I could tap, maybe I'd rather take that Social Security now, even if it means a lower check later in life. Who cares? Because I got more money, more income at the time of my life when I could enjoy it more.
All right. Here's where all of you will benefit from Jeff and I doing this great retirement debate. Our age difference, probably around 30 years. Jeff has just described the mantra for maybe his generation, YOLO. You only live once. Spend it now and don't worry about the future.
That's right.
But I'm with my generation, the baby boomers, maybe more of you listening here now, and everybody wants a larger check. So what? You don't spend it on the things. You can't do as many things. There's other things you will need that money for.
All right, fair enough. Maybe some generational differences. I'm also forced to make this argument, I must point out once again. Ed, what any other key insights you have as to why someone should not take Social Security at age 62?
It's simply to lock in the largest possible check for the longest period of time. And I believe that's by holding off, if you can, Jeff makes a good point, if you can, till age 70 and lock that in. Now, Jeff, a point you didn't make, which I'll go on your side, but I don't think it's a big point, but I'll throw one on your end of the
Throw me a bone. I got a hard argument here to start.
Right. Yeah. You see, I saw a story. I mean, you see it every day. Social Security is going bankrupt. So get it while you can. Back to your YOLO argument.
That's right. Get it while you, because right now, if we do nothing, and that's a fair, I was gonna bring that up here at the end, but I appreciate you raising it for me. Right. Social Security is currently scheduled to go bankrupt. Now, in fairness, not bankrupt truly in the sense that it won't be able to pay anything, but benefits are only scheduled to be about 75-80% of what they are promised beginning in about 10 years or so. And so do you want to count on our politicians creating this fix at the last minute, as they often do? Or are we likely to continue to see a lot of what's going on today in our political climate, which is no compromise on anything, no matter what it is?
Right. And here's another benefit of the generational difference. I'm not worried about that because no politician, it's the third rail, is going to touch Social Security for people of my age who vote. They're not going to touch it. And you know what? I paid in all those years. Let the kids and the grandkids behind me, let them pay in, and they're on their own.
All right. Well, so now we really are on our own. See, now you know why we want a YOLO.
yeah, right. No, I didn't mean it that way. But really, you know, if you're looking at it from my age, the baby boomers, we've been paying into this for most of our working years since the day I got that first check. And just
But you've been paying in for other people, and I'll be paying in for you.
Right.
Well, unfortunately, there were just too many of you, Ed. There's just so many darn boomers that we're going to run out of money.
I know. So I'll wait till 70, but you keep paying in for me, Jeff. I think that's so great of you and the generation below me.
I am happy to do it. It's my privilege. That's well, and I'll give you one more, Ed, and I'll make you were so kind as to throw me a bone. I'll make an easy argument for you. If you're the lower earner, so already I know where you can go here with another argument, but if you're the lower earner of a married couple, claiming it's 62 can be pretty beneficial as well, because there, if either you or your spouse die young, that becomes a good decision. Because if you're the lower earner, when whoever dies first dies, so too does your lower check. Right. So if you're the lower earner, it's really not a matter of when will I die. It's a matter of when will I or my spouse die. And while mathematically and actuarially, we could say, well, if you live to 82 or 83, if you're a married couple, most couples, the lower earner probably shouldn't wait until 70, because it requires both people to live a really long time in order for that decision to pay off. So, well, maybe 62 is early. I'm forced to make
that
argument.
That's too early.
Here.
But maybe if you're in your late 60s, that argument could hold water. Mm-hmm. For example, if spouse is older than you, like you say.
Yeah, right. Because at the first death, that higher check will live on with the survivor,
right,
no matter who it is. And so the lower spouse, like when people come into my office, right, you talk about like real office situations. When people come in and they're kind of set and they say, well, we really wanted to start taking Social Security, I always say, if you want to play with one of them and get it early, use the lower income spouse. Like, have them take it early and let the higher spouse be the one to delay.
All right. These are all good arguments. I still stick to my guns, get the largest check for the longest period of time, but not everything's for everyone. So, Jeff, I want you to explain how each one of these episodes are going to end, that you have to make your own decisions. We hope we gave you all the information, the pluses, minuses, benefits, and drawbacks, and all the considerations to make the best decision. Remember, this is a long-term decision. There's no going back on that. So it takes a lot of planning.
You're right, Ed. And that's why we say there are two sides to every coin, but your life, your retirement decisions are too important to leave up to a coin flip. And so the one thing that Ed and I always agree on is that you should make sure you're discussing these important decisions with a knowledgeable financial advisor or tax professional so that you can weigh the pros and cons of the different options against your specific goals and circumstances. Now, Ed and I would love to hear from you. What'd you like? What can we do better? Do you have a thought on why you should take Social Security earlier or later we didn't mention, or a particular point you thought was that important? Or you just have a topic for us for a future debate? Again, we'd love to hear from you. You can reach out to us on Twitter. Reach out to Ed at The Slot Report. That's at The Slot with two T's Report. And you can reach out to me using the handle CPA Planner. Again, that's CPA Planner. We thank you for joining us. We look forward to this project. We've got a lot more topics lined up for the future. And I sincerely hope that you're able to make better decisions because of some of the information you've learned here today and in our future episodes. Ed, this was fun. I look forward to doing this again real soon. Thanks so much.
All right, Jeff, we'll see you on the next episode of The Great Retirement Debate.
Jeffrey Levine is Chief Planning Officer for Buckingham Wealth Partners. This podcast is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be construed as specific investment, accounting, legal, or tax advice. Certain information mentioned may be based on third-party information which may become outdated or otherwise superseded without notice. Third-party information is deemed to be reliable, but its accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. The topic discussed in corresponding arguments are those of the speakers and may not accurately reflect those of Buckingham Wealth Partners.